Welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. We are online all the darn time at npr.org/Bryant Park. I'm Allison Stewart, along with Rachel Martin.
Hello!
Super Tuesday, the future of our nation hanging in the balance, but we got to get to something else today.
There's got to be something else to talk about.
Quite as pressing, but no less super. Ladies and gentlemen, we bring you the ramble.
Okay, I'm going to start you off with, I think, some sad news. You know that new car smell that so many people love, including yours truly?
Yes.
Well, it turns out it may be joining the likes of the smells of like things like microwave popcorn that you know that you really like but are actually kind of really bad for you. The new car smell comes from, apparently, plastic glue and carpeting in cars.
Mm-hmm.
And yum. When those materials are new, they're unstable and they give off a gas. Among the things they emit are two known carcinogens, benzene and formaldehyde.
Oh, not
this
so yum.
This cannot be good for you. The so-called volatile organic compounds. Organic, that sounds good for you, though. Interesting. That the new car stuff gives off causes headaches, sore throat, and nausea, in addition to a possible cancer risk. Very serious. So while the U.S. doesn't have standards for these volatile organic compounds, other countries apparently do. Studies show that new car interiors contain 128 times the legal limit in countries like Australia. So, I mean, I guess environmental working groups say open your windows. You don't have to totally give up on that little new car, you know, thing that you hang on your driver's, what am I trying to say? Steering wheel. That's what I always go by, those little things for your steering wheel. It makes your car smell good. So be careful, but roll your windows down.
We're going to stay on the olfactory beat this morning. This is about the California ground squirrel. Now, a study at UC at Davis, which is really well known for having great animal husbandry agricultural program, says these little furry creature has an incredible but unlikely defense mechanism. The little cute squirrel, ground squirrel, apparently likes to chomp on the skin of a rattlesnake. The snake's already shed the skin, as you know. Now, rattlesnakes prey on squirrels. So what does a little squirrel do? Yum, 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 eating the rattleskin snake. And then the squirrel licks his own fur, because then he gets the rattlesnake scent all over his body.
Oh.
The snake is like, where are my yummy squirrels that I eat? I only smell other snakes. It's olfactory camouflage.
I thought it was a trick to say, if a rattlesnake tried to approach the little squirrel, he'd be like munching on some rattlesnake skin, like, don't even come near me, dude, because I'll totally munch you. I just killed this other snake.
You think acorns have trouble? Watch it, pal. No, they protect themselves with the smell of the rattlesnake, which I think is quite interesting.
So smart. Okay, so if you've been watching late night shows since Stephen Colbert, Jon Stewart, Jay Leno, and Conan returned after time off from the writer's strike, we all know this, you may have noticed a recurring theme, the fight over Mike Huckabee. And it all came to a head this week. Conan and Colbert have been essentially dueling over who's supposed to take, who can take credit for the success of Mike Huckabee, both claiming to have, quote, made him. Stewart has had his Comedy Central Network host back. It's become a rare cross-network comedy bit, and all three shows have been leveraging this for weeks now. Monday night, Colbert and Stewart showed up on Conan's show.
Okay.
And all three of the hosts are, of course, desperate to fill airtime because their writers are gone and, you know, they need to kind of ad-lib a lot. So the host spent a good 3 minutes just brawling, basically just like fighting around NBC studios. And then came this. The man in the middle finally spoke up on the controversy.
Hello, I'm Mike Huckabee, and I'm running for president because I want to unite this country, not divide it. But recently, three of our greatest talk show hosts, Jon Stewart, Stephen Colbert, and Conan O'Brien, have beaten each other senseless, all trying to take credit for me. Well, let's be clear. None of these guys made me. This great nation made me. So, vote for me. God bless America, and forget these three idiots.
All right, scientists have finally done it. For all you people who like to cook in the kitchen, but you hate it when you see a cup of chopped onions.
Hate it.
Ugh. Scientists have created an onion that doesn't make you cry when you chop it.
What?
Now, here's a little bit of science. I'm going to bust out the science now. The tearing reaction is caused when sulfur compounds in the onion are converted into other substances that apparently make you very sad and tear
sulfur
up.
Sulfur compounds?
So you can't just remove the sulfur compounds because they're very important to the flavor and the nutritional value of onions. But a team from Crop and Food Research in New Zealand, they used gene silencing to essentially just basically turn off the gene that converts the sulfur compounds.
Okay.
All right.
I learned a lot, actually. I had no idea that onions were so complicated. Hey, folks. Allison,
what?
We did it.
That's the ramble. These stories will definitely be available on our website. We link on through at npr.org/Bryant Park.